When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world. Today, we're going to have music from Stephanie, and then stay tuned for a message, and then more music.
We really hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you.
We've got a big surprise for you today. It's part one of our very first interview in a series. And this one is by Kay Skinner. She is a hospital chaplain, and she's going to tell us some stories about working in children's hospitals and praying for the patients. And this is a great interview, so please enjoy part one and stay tuned for part two in 2 weeks.
Hi, everybody. This is our guest, Kay Skinner, and she's a friend of ours. She's not just a guest, but she's a friend of ours. We met when when she took us to, we didn't take her to, and it's a good thing because, we weren't driving.
She took us to a hospital chaplain's conference, and today she's going to talk to us about what goes on behind the scenes at a children's hospital as a chaplain in the children's hospital. So, Kay, why don't you go ahead and just take it over from here?
Okay. Yeah, I was a chaplain at Phoenix Children's Hospital for almost 20 years, and I just retired in May, and and it was just a wonderful experience. I know you guys already know what it's like to be a chaplain, because it's an absolute privilege to work for God, you know. There's nothing better, nothing greater than to be his conduit. You know?
Our chaplaincy, though, was in a general care hospital. I'm sure it's totally different in the children's hospital.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is very, very different. And that's, it's so cool. So many different things. You know, we would walk into some of the rooms and the parents would just light up and they'd say, "Oh, I have been waiting for you to come in. We needed you so badly and we need you to pray for our child." Well, you know, to some degree, I appreciated that, but to the other degree, I wanted to cry out, you know, I am no different than you are. Mm-hmm. You are able to talk to God just as easily as I am. You know, God sees you as a minister just as he sees me. And I want you to be aware that you can pray for your child at any time and God listens, you know, and, you know, after I would pray for them, because they do revere us so much. I would attempt to try to tell them, you know, it's okay. It's okay for you to be praying for your child. God listens to you. Always know God is here at all times. He knows what's going on and he is there helping, because these parents are just grabbing for anything. Please tell God to help us, you know. Their child is the most important thing at that time. When their child is sick, when their child is dying, it is just so hard on them, and they want hope. They want to know that God will help them, you know?
What would you do if a child had a lot of anxiety?
I would tell that child that he needs to talk to God. And I would tell that child how to pray. I taught many children how to pray. And you know what? It's very simple. I just tell them, look up and talk to God. Just tell them, "I hurt. Please, God, take my pain away." Or, "God, I'm scared. I'm so scared." Tell God what you're scared of, what you're afraid of. Are you afraid of the needles? Are you afraid of the things that the doctors say? Are you afraid of the things that the doctors are going to do to you? Just tell him right what you're feeling. And just tell him in your words what's going on. And that's all you have to do. I always told the kids, very, very simple. you don't have to say very, very special words. I'm a chaplain. I'm a minister. But I am not the kind of chaplain or minister that says all of these grandiose words. I am a chaplain that says, God, please help me. Please help this little boy.
How did they respond to that? How did they respond to that?
They responded very, very well. It was just great. They loved it. They loved it. And when I would talk to them, I would make sure that they knew that, you know, there was nothing more in the world than them. They were what was important. And I would make sure that I told the parents, you know, that they were important also. And I would make sure that I prayed with them. But I also made sure that I spoke to the children and prayed with them and found out what is it that they're thinking. Because all of them are important, not now, just one.
Now, Jesus said basically that, you know, he talked about, you know, a lot about the little children, letting the little children come to him. And
yeah.
He talked about out of the mouth of babes come wisdom. Did you ever see a change in children after they pray?
I saw a lot of changes in the children after they prayed or after I read Bible verses to them. I saw them relax quite a bit, and I saw their faces light up because they felt more hopeful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any stories along those lines? Maybe a couple of stories that you can tell us about that?
Yeah, I want to tell you a story about a father, okay? I had a father tell me that his daughter had cancer, bone cancer, and he needed to talk to me about it because it was his fault. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I told him we needed to go downstairs and to a special room to talk about this. Okay. So I asked him, I said, what makes you think that it's your fault that your daughter has cancer? He said, I had an affair with another woman. Now, I was very, very sorry, and I just recently broke it off. And I said, does your wife know? And he says, yeah, she found out. And did you tell her you were sorry? I said, and he said, yes, I did. And I've been treating her nicely ever since. And then I said, so you feel that this is why your daughter got cancer? He said, yes. The Bible says the sins of the father will be put on the child. And I asked him, I said, what religion are you? And he said, I'm Catholic. I know that it's my fault she's dying. So I told him. I said, Mr. So-and-so, I am not a person that believes that God is out to hurt people. I believe that God loves us very, very much. And when our children get sick, we don't know why they get sick. But I believe that God does everything that he can to get our children better. I believe that God loves us so much. Now, what you did was not right. It was a sin. I think that you should get down on your knees and pray to God, telling him how sorry you are for what you've done, and that you're going to try not to do that sin anymore. So he did that. And I said, now, what did God do? He said, he's forgiven me. And I said, that's correct. He has forgiven you. And God expects you to forgive yourself now. And I want you to know, your sin has not touched your daughter in the least. And now we're going to pray for your daughter. And you're going to continue to pray for your daughter through the whole time that she's sick. The most important thing is that you never ever think that her sickness is because of what you have done. Your sins have been forgiven, and you are to go and on a daily basis spend time with your daughter, love your daughter, and know that each and every day is a gift from God. And hopefully God will listen. Hopefully God will spare your daughter. But if he does not, you have enjoyed each and every day. And it is a gift with your daughter.
Did you have any follow-up with him after that?
I did. His daughter was off and on in the hospital. She spent a lot of time in the hospital. She learned to play a guitar. And she was in the playroom often. And she ended up teaching, I think there was like 13 different kids how to play the guitar. And I used to go in there and I would hear her singing and teaching the other kids how to play the guitar.
Wow, that's great.
She died about a year and a half later.
Uh-huh.
But her mother and her father were in great acceptance.
Uh-huh.
And they were very happy with the time that they spent with her and very comforted and enjoyed all the time that they had had.
That is the end of part one of our interview with Kay Skinner. We hope you enjoyed it. And stay tuned for the rest in our next episode. Now, to close out our show, are a few more songs.
Here's a more traditional song, but I'd like to say a few things about it first. This is the song, He Touched Me. It means a lot to me because when Christ came into my life, I had a pretty radical conversion and felt like I was called into the ministry. And so I just wanted to say, whatever you're going through today, Christ wants to walk with you, and he wants to touch you, giving you his strength and his peace. Thank you.
more songs here today. The first is a favorite of Timothy's, and it's become a favorite of mine. It's called Greatest Thy Faithfulness. Who has been recovering from COVID-19. So I thought I would regale him with the song, Because He Lives. It's all about how our lives are worth the living just because Jesus Christ lives today. Thank you.
to contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. Yeah, it's all about you. It's all about you.